Morning, Tom Brady. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, first question. First things first. Who punked you and stole your helmet to start the third quarter?
I couldn't find it, man. I was looking around. And, you know, normally someone there, because they go, they check the microphones in them before
right.
the game and before the start of the second half. So normally someone's there just to kind of give it to me that it's been checked, and no one was there. So I was looked on the bench, and then I looked, and I couldn't find it, so I was freaking out a bit. And I thought, oh, my God, did I leave it in the locker room?
No, Gronkowski took it because he wanted to hear all, what they say. He just seems curious.
No, we eventually found it, thank God.
Who saved the day and found it for you, and where was it?
One of our equipment guys took it. It was on top of the behind the defensive bench. I don't know what was going on over there, but
wow.
That's apparently where they may be checking on something.
The announcers pointed out over and over again that Vince Wilfork's wife, Bianca, texts him all game, and he goes in at halftime and reads, and she knows football. She texts him little recommendations, suggestions, observations from the stands. Do you check your phone at halftime, Tom, to see who's texting you?
No, maybe that works for Vince, obviously.
Yeah.
He's having what an incredible player he is. And Bianca does know football, so she always lets me know what we need to do after the game, so I appreciate that, too.
Hey, Tom, I don't know if you're going to take the bait on this, and knowing you, you probably won't, but isn't the most satisfying, impactful kind of victory a team can have is when you make your opponent quit or surrender? And didn't that happen yesterday? Because it sure looked like they quit.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I don't think they did. I mean, I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for that team and the way those guys play. They play hard. They're very well coached. They're good in all phases. I thought, you know, we really just we took advantage of some opportunities we got in the second half that we didn't take advantage of in the first half. In the first half, we were very much up and down. And, you know, we've yet to really play a 60-minute game. So, you know, we played 30 minutes yesterday, 30 pretty good minutes offensively and defensively, special teams. We covered kicks. You know, we ran the ball well. We were efficient in the passing game. We got a lot of turnovers on defense. So, I mean, that's a winning formula, and I think that's what obviously has been lacking the last few weeks is, you know, our ability to take advantage when we get the opportunities from the opposing team, and I thought we did a great job of that yesterday.
Were you surprised that they stayed with their small personnel packages as you continued to burn them and run the football in the second half? I know maybe they thought they had it going because they led you 14-7 at halftime, but were you surprised they didn't change out of that when it was clear you were taking advantage of that?
Well, that's what we have to do. I mean, if teams want to leave their nickel groupings on the field, then we've got to be able to, you know, I don't know, how we ran for, what, 250 yards or 240 yards, something
right.
like that?
247, yep.
So, I mean, it was a great effort by the offensive line who played just great yesterday against a defensive front that, you know, really improved itself over the course of the offseason with Mario Williams and Mark Anderson and adding, you know, to Darius and Kyle Williams. And they got, you know, other guys they rotate in that were all, you know, very, very good players, and our offensive line really met the challenge. So, I mean, I think you give those guys all the credit in the world, you know, to create holes for the running backs who also, you know, did a great job running the ball, finding the holes, taking care of the football, you know, running with good pad level, breaking tackles, yards after contact. I mean, it was, we really got challenged by our coach and, you know, who really wanted us to run the ball better, and we've been running the ball, and I thought those guys really answered the call.
You came out in the second half in the shotgun. A lot of the first half you were under center. Is that just you and Josh to get together at halftime and say, listen, this is what we have to do? Or do you insist on it? Say, listen, we're spreading them out. We are going to pick them apart, which is what you did, and open things up for the running game.
Yeah, Josh usually has a great feel for that. You know, I like I said, I mean, there's times where I'll, you know, kind of make a recommendation, but there's other times where Josh says it's what we're doing. So I have 100% confidence in Josh and what he's calling and what he wants me to do. I mean, we've been in a lot of games together, and you know, it doesn't always go well in the first half. Sometimes you got to make adjustments, and you know, I thought, you know, we did a great job adjusting to what, you know, they were doing, you know, because it's still earlier in the year, so you really haven't seen the entire playbook, you know, of the opposing defenses that we're facing. And we played Arizona, for example, and, you know, we thought they were going to do one thing, and they really didn't do it, and we had to adjust in the second half. And Baltimore, the same thing. And And, you know, this game was the same way. So, you know, we've got to continue to find ways to adjust and also hopefully adjust faster so that, you know, we don't, you know, blow a whole half. You know, we can certainly execute better than we did in the first half, and I thought we executed a lot better in the second half.
Tom, I'm not sure one can narrow down to a key play a game that ends in a 52-28 score, but if we attempted to do that, would the key play in your mind be the hit and the fumble and the Vince recovery at halftime to keep it 14-7, or maybe the third and nine scramble to Woodhead that got you guys really launched out in the second half?
Well, you know, those are, I mean, that play that Spikes made to knock the ball
right
off of, was it Spiller?
Spiller, right.
Yeah, to knock the ball off Spiller. I mean, he's done that. Brandon is, I mean, I'll tell you, I love being on the team with Brandon Spikes. And, I mean, what he does for our defense and creating fumbles and really the hard-hitting presence that he is in the middle of the field. I mean, that's, I know when we play linebackers, like, and we got some really good linebackers, you know, with Gerard, who's obviously the leader of that group, and Brandon and Dante Hightower's a young player, but you know Brandon brings that physical element, and he you know to knock the ball off Spiller like he did was awesome. And that play he made against Arizona where he knocked the fumble off of I don't remember the name of the back, but that was one of the best plays I've ever seen anyone make. And you know he has a nose for the ball. He has a nose for knocking the ball out, and you know that was a huge play in the game yesterday. So. And for Vince to be on the top of it and to recover it, that was a huge play in the game.
Hey, you guys put on a show in the second half. The offense did, Tom. I think you had 42 plays, like 350-plus yards. Can you just give us a sense on how many of those 42 plays you called? How many were called at the line by you?
Not many. I mean, we can certainly make adjustments out there, you know, but when Josh is in a rhythm, I mean, there's really no reason to change him. So it's not like... You know, I when he's got it going, I mean, I just try to, you know, execute what he's calling and, you know, make my read and make my throw. And, I mean, a great part is I don't have to play offensive coordinator. I just have to play quarterback, and he calls right. The plays. And if it's a bad look, then, you know, I can certainly get out of it. But for the most part, you know, with what he sees, I mean, we talk about, and that's what I feel confident in, and that's what we go out and do.
What about when you come to the line and you see something in the defense? I mean, I guess they didn't adjust, certainly didn't adjust as much as they should have or could have, but if you came out to the line and they were out of their nickel and you were looking at, you know, three DBs and four or five linebackers, you have to change the play, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, those are the times where we talked about that before the game. You know, we have a particular play called, and what look are we going to get? And if we get a different look, this is what we want to do on the play. And, you know, you don't put too many plays in where, you know, you're really stymied if they line up in a certain defense because, you know, it's hard to bank on one defensive call. So, you know, a lot of the times you have all-purpose plays that, look, if it's, let's say it's a heavy run defense, you know, this is what we're going to do. If it's a heavy pass defense, this is what we're going to do. You know, those are the types of things that we talk about before the game, but you can't just always bank on, look, this is what they're going to be in because, you know, you'll be 25%. So you got to have enough options within the play to still have options, you know, no matter what the defense calls. And if it's, you know, if they pick it perfect, then I got to change the play.
Well, Kyle Williams, their defensive tackle, said that you ran three plays. He said that's it. Ran three running plays over and over again. Is that accurate?
No. No, we certainly ran more than that. I would say there was probably 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then we play actions off all those. So,
right.
You know, it looks like the run, and then we play that touchdown I hit to Gronk up the middle of the field. I mean, we've been running that play where we have a kind of a counteraction. We pull the backside guard, and you get the linebackers to step up, and Gronk slipped behind them. And, you know, we've been running that play a lot, you know, for good yardage, giving it to Ridley and Bolden, and then we ran it, and we hit Gronk up the middle of the field. So it's that's part of the chess game. You got to, you know, look, they got little guys on the field. We got to run it, and then play action, boom, and then you hit a big play. So that's part of, you know, good offensive football and being able to make the adjustments and say, you know, these are the runs we want to get to, these are the play actions off the runs, and that's how you complement, you know, the entire passing game with the run game.
Yeah, you sort of kind of broached the subject that I wanted to get into next, Tom. We all know the cliches about what establishing a running game does for the entire offense. Balance makes the defense guess. It gives you all kind of more open options. Take us to the next level of quarterback grad school here. On that subject, what do 200-yard performances by your running backs allow you to do specifically X's and O's wise?
Well, you know, I think that it gets to a point in the game where, you know, they're getting hurt in the run game that, you know, they got to start committing defenses to the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And when they commit defenses to the run game, then you really got them where you want in the pass game. So, you know, if you're running the ball for 2.5 yards a carry and they're still playing pass defense, you know, they're right. The defense is doing exactly what they want to do.
Sure.
They're saying, look, we're playing pass defense, but they're still not gaining yards running the ball. So when you're able to run the ball at 7 or 8 yards a carry, you know, they're going, well, we got to make some changes. Now, they sit on the sideline and say, all right, we got to support faster in the run game, or we got to, you know, get an extra defender down in the box to stop the run game. And then, you know, you play action pass,
mm-hmm.
and you really got your matchups where you want them in the pass game. So that's part of the whole evolution of the game is, you know, part of being an effective play action pass game is being able to run the ball effectively. Not just run the ball, you know, you got to run the ball, but if you're, like I said, if you're running it for 2 yards a carry, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just like perfect, you know, they're wasting plays. But when you can run it like we ran it yesterday, it really puts a lot of pressure on those guys for the defenders to stop the run, you know, physically, and then schematically, you know, maybe it changes the defensive coordinator's call.
Right. Hey, Tom, post-game yesterday, you wouldn't say what Mr. Kraft said to you coming off the field. Would you mind telling us what you said when you got in literally Brandon Lloyd's face after the touchdown? Because it was something excitable, I think. Can you give us the tone and tenor of what that was about?
I was pretty fired up. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I said. I was pretty excited. You know, we missed a few earlier in the day, but, you know, on one that was, we talked about in a 4-minute offense, you know, to hit a ball like that for a touchdown was an awesome way to really end the game. So I was pretty fired up.
How quickly does your mind react and process when you feel Kyle Williams on your knee like that? And does it take a couple of seconds before you realize you're okay? What was that whole play like in your mind?
Yeah, it was a little longer developing play to Wes over the middle, and I threw it to Wes, and then, you know, I got hit. But, you know, I got a knee brace on, you know, Kyle's a hell of a player, so that's part of the game, and that's why I wear a knee brace.
Mm.
So it was a, you know, I honestly don't think about it at all. I mean, I really removed from that experience, but, you know, you just take the precaution and you try to use good technique back there in the pocket, you know, I'm glad everything's okay.
All right, back to what you said on the sidelines. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the whole world was reading your lips after you scored the touchdown. We think we know what you said. I'm just wondering who were you directing this to? Was it the Bills, the fans? Who?
I'd rather not say. But it wasn't the fans, and it wasn't the refs or anything like that. It was just an emotional thing. I was just
fired up.
Yeah, I was just fired up.
He didn't say it wasn't the Bills. You know, did you notice that?
It wasn't
a Buffalo player or two, because it's plural. It's plural.
So yeah, that's true.
And why not one of your goofy spikes? Why did you keep the ball?
Because. I don't know. You're right. I was wishing. I mean, I don't get in. I get in once every 3 years, so I probably should spike it. But I'm leaving the spiking for Gronk. Maybe if I get in again, I'll spike it. But
yeah, he had a bad one.
Yeah. He stumbled into the goalpost.
Was he a little nervous because he was home and probably had like 9,000 high school friends there?
Had a drop and a fumble?
Drop, a fumble, and the spike was really ugly.
I'm telling you, he's been fighting his butt off to be out there and to do everything that we're asking him to do. So it was great for him to have a game where he really, you know, made some plays in the passing game, made some big plays down the field. You know, and I'm sure, you know, being home is exciting for him too. So I know his high school coach was there. He had a lot of family in the hotel. So it's always a little bit of a, you know, it's nice to go home, but it's sometimes it's nice to leave too, because it's, you know, all the, distraction, so to speak, when you're there. But, you know, he really, what a great player he is, and dependable player, and I have so much confidence and trust in him that he's going to be doing the right thing and be in the right place. And he plays with a lot of emotion, a lot of heart. So,
do you ever hang out with him? Like, you know, on the road, you go to dinner the night before, or lunch or breakfast or anything?
No, I mean, we don't go to, like, Vegas together or anything like that. But maybe at a different point in my life I would have done that. But he's, you know, he's, I really love being around the guy, and he's a great teammate and friend. And, you know, I try to, you know, add some words of, you know, advice and wisdom at times, you know, where I can. But, you know, he's a grown man, and he'll, you know, he's doing a great job taking care of himself. And, you know, he loves football, and he loves, you know, playing for the Patriots. So that's all you could ask for.
Oh, he's a fully grown man, to be sure. Hey, you mentioned Brandon Spike's heavy hits and all that. Have you seen the Will Fork hit on Donald Jones yet? Have you looked at the tape?
Yeah, I saw that on TV last night. That was incredible. I mean, he laid into him, and he's, Vince is a big man, and he can get going quickly in a hurry. So his explosiveness into that tackle was awesome.
And the notable thing was, Tom, was what the score was and where it was in the game. It was midway in the fourth quarter, and the Patriots were up 35-21. So there was, you know, I mean, I guess that's playing hard 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I'm telling you, you don't, you know, you'll think twice, you know, catching that ball again. I mean, you take a hit like that for the rest of the season. I mean, Vince sniffs that out, and that's part of what about Vince as a great player is, you know, his instinctiveness to know, like those interceptions last year that he made,
right,
and, you know, playing certain blocks and scheme run plays. Vince, you don't fool Vince. So, you know, they hit that once earlier in the game, then Vince has a sense for it the second time around, and then really makes them pay.
Don't give him too much credit. Bianca texted him, said
watch
out for Donald Jones on the screen. So she was ready for it.
Maybe that's his little secret weapon right there.
Hey, who's, if you can't vote for yourself, not that you would, but who's the best player on your team?
I mean, it's a long list. I mean, it's a long list. I think we, you know, we got a lot of really great players. So,
all right, top three.
You can't bait me into that. You can't bait me. I mean, it's too hard to tell. I mean, there's so many guys that have played in so many big games under pressure that play big when we need it the most. So
obviously, you don't need Logan Mankey.
Yeah.
So you can't. You know,
we do need Logan. That's the thing. Logan, what Logan did last week against the Ravens and his toughness and what he brings to it. I mean, everybody brings something. That's why you're on the team. I mean, everyone brings, you know, the toughness, playing under pressure, work ethic, you know, what Wes Welker does for our team and the kind of plays that he makes sparks the entire team. And whenever the going gets tough, you know, you look in the huddle and you look at Wes, and then you just know, you know, Wes has got a heart that's, you know, five times the size of him. So, I mean, it's that kind of player that we have throughout our team, like the McCourties, and, you know, everyone's, you know, been tough on Devin. Devin makes huge plays in the game yesterday. I mean, there's so many guys that really, you know, can dig deep, and that's what, you know, football's all about.
Even with a 52-28 shellacking of Buffalo and an amazing second half, my guess is the head coach is going to find a couple of things in the first half, first two quarters to point out in the meetings this week.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be, and that's, you know, this is about improvement. You know, I said after the game, we're 2-2. You know, it's not a very good record. I mean, it's, you know, but what we have to do is we have to get better because it's not good enough. And it's not, you know, it's good enough to win some days, but, you know, obviously it's not good enough to win all the time. And we got to start winning, you know, every time we take the field. And I think that's improving, getting better, realizing what you need to do as a player to prepare yourself mentally and physically to be the best you can every week. And that's a concentration thing. That's an effort thing. That's a work ethic thing. And that's part of the process that we go through every week. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to execution of the game, but you got to prepare yourself to execute. And, you know, the guys worked hard last week. We need another great week. Obviously, we got a, you know, one of the best teams in the league coming into town. We're going to need to play our best game of the season.
Will Josh provide any advantage based on his relationship with that team?
I mean, it's been a while since he's been there.
Right.
So it's a totally different staff. Maybe, you know, I know he has some insight on some players, but, I mean, that's, they use their players within their scheme to how they see fit. So quite a bit of that's changed. They have a new defensive coordinator. Obviously, it's a different offense with, you know, Peyton, you know, as a quarterback as opposed to Tebow than the team we faced last year. Mm-hmm. So they have plenty of challenges. They're good on both sides of the ball from what I've seen thus far. I mean, they can play defensively. You know, they had a great game against Oakland yesterday, so we got our work cut out for us.
So you're done with rushing touchdowns for the year? That was, you got your quota yesterday, you're all set?
No, maybe there's a few more in store.
All right. We'll talk to you down the road. Congratulations on a big win. Good luck against Denver.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.